So welcome, everybody.
You said that like that surprised you.
Yes. February 11th already. This is February 11th, 2021. It's Michelle, and this is the first call in our abundance series. Let's begin as we always do in Shavasana. So find a quiet space where you can take this time deeply for yourself, whatever else your day has been. If you've been doing many things, tending to many people, and I know you are heart-centered people in service in the world, you've probably been taking care of more than one person today already. Take this time to take care of the person who's at the center of all of that, and that's you. Take this time for yourself. So lying down if you can. If not, you can be seated. Make sure your back is comfortable. Raise your legs if you need to, so that you're comfortable, low back comfortable. Dig the elbows into the floor, lift and open the heart center, and release the arms to the floor in a low V palms up position. Softly close the eyes. Be present. Notice what this moment feels like to you. Has your day been filled with things? Can you unplug that now? Be here and now, present. Scan the body for any tension, and where you find tension, breathe into that spot and let it go. Soften your jaw all the way to the hinge near the ears. Relax your tongue in the bottom of the mouth. Has it been pressed to the roof of the mouth that tells you something about your day? Relax the tongue. Let it rest in the mouth. Feel spaciousness in the cavity of the mouth. And feel how that's echoed in the abdomen. Can you feel it? Quiet abdomen, spaciousness in the mouth, and vice versa. Our whole body is connected. Let the eyes sink back toward the back brain. Let the mind become quiet. And watch the breath. Feel the ease of this moment. Feel the ease in the body. Feel the ease in this breath. Ease. Any thoughts that arise, let them go as unimportant right now. This practice trains focus. How focused can you be for just these few minutes together? Let the thought go, it can be returned to later. Just this particular movement of this breath. Notice it. Cherish it. And release even the cherishing. And just watch the breath. Be the breath. Let yourself be breathed by the universe. No effort. Know that you are not your thoughts. If you were your thoughts, you wouldn't be able to watch them passing through. You were something so much bigger. You are the witness consciousness, so much more connected, so much bigger than we imagine ourselves to be in our daily lives. Touch this, know this. You are the breath. Let the breath breathe at you. And then allow the breath to deepen. Place your hands on the torso. Feel the breath. Bend the knees, roll to the right side, support your head. Open your eyes to a soft gaze. Use your hands to press yourself up to sitting. And return to our virtual circle. As always, camera on, so that each week we train that one pointed focus. If we do it here over and over again, that itself, just focusing here each week, is world changing, stopping all the multitasking. I do it too. I'm not above any of these teachings, right? I'm learning it right here with you. All right, I'm multitasking right now. Let me just get my jacket on first. Down to you too. It's cold here. It's about minus, with the wind chill, minus 46 Fahrenheit. Let me get my jacket on. All right. Not in my house, minus 46, but out there. It makes it colder in here though too. All right. What did you love? This itself is a practice to train our focus on what we love. A practice of focused intentionality on what we love. What did you love in this practice today? Who would like to begin? Yeah, Jamie.
I feel refreshed. I've just been nonstop since 9 o'clock this morning in conversation. And my eyes, I mean, when I got on this call, I felt like I needed a nap. And I don't feel like that at the moment.
Jamie, what a powerful insight. It only takes a few minutes to be completely recharged and refreshed. And you might say completely, well, it's not like 3 weeks in Mexico. But it's a different energy. It's focused. It's alive. It feels better. What will that next decision be? That next conversation be? How much better? It's a good reminder for me as well. I always want to be reminded of this over and over again so that it becomes a deeper and deeper part of my day, my practice, my remembering. Thank you. Reset. Jamie. Refreshed. Let's hear from one more of you. Who would like to share next? What was beautiful in this practice for you today? Yeah, Mary Kay, thank you.
Well, I just was following sensations in my left foot. It was like it was coming alive or something. And it was fascinating. I just loved it. And it was hard to stop it. So what I did was kind of just ask my foot, you know, it's like, okay, is it okay if I stop? And it's still talking to me. So that's even better.
I love it. You know, I wish I could find the source again, but it was a very hugely respected teacher. I don't think this one was Iyengar himself. It was a meditation teacher, a spiritual teacher said, you know, you want me to teach you about God? You don't know where your left foot is. I teach you about God, the universe. I'm like, can we be here now embodied? I love it. It's your left foot coming alive, right? Iyengar has said, you know, yoga is consciousness in every cell of the body. What if we walked on stage with that? What if we walked into the next conversation with that? How much more alive would we be to that person in that strategy session in front of us, awake to the small movements of what's happening inside them, if we knew, like Mary Kay, where our left foot is and so much more, right? Thank you, love that. Anything else wanting to be said? Andrea, thank you.
It's a question that I've wanted to ask, but why do we roll to our right side?
I love that question. And, you know, if for any reason this is uncomfortable, go ahead and roll to the left side. And it is traditional in Iyengar yoga to roll to the right side. And I haven't rethought about that for many, many years now. That is something just that my teachers have taught me. I can't tell you some things I've experienced in my own body and some things have I deeply experienced this in my own body. I don't think so, but it is what my own teachers have taught me. Let me see. And I don't, to be honest, I don't even remember the anatomy of it, but it is said that when we roll to the left side, we don't come to consciousness as much. I can't remember the reasoning about it, that we'll remain more in that Shavasana state. And we actually want to bring ourselves back into this world, and rolling to the right, it is said, does so. But I can't say more than that, other than some things also for me that rolling to the right side, there are, and this call, we're going to be talking about practices, habitual practices. And some of them also just serve and support us. Sometimes it's like, you've heard the story about the ham. Well, I don't know why we cut off the end of the ham. Let me talk to my mother. I don't know. Let me talk to the grandmother. Oh, the pan wasn't big enough for the grandmother. So sometimes we have these practices that don't serve and support us. And other times they do. I always brush my teeth in this particular bathroom. Would I have to? Would the other bathroom work? Yes. But if I have that habit and I have that intentionality and I don't have to rethink that one, I have life force energy for other things. So there's a couple of reasons. I don't have a good reason other than those. But it is said it's because, you know, we want to be awake and alert when we're driving next, right? But there's also a playfulness in Iyengar yoga. At one time, Gita Iyengar, Mr. Iyengar's daughter said, you know, when we're raising our arms, we always need to raise the left arm first. And so people were busily like listening and they know they can't take notes and they're ready to take notes later because they couldn't take notes in class, right? And then she just started giggling. And she's like, and now all you Iyengar, because it's people who've trained for a long, long time who could come to the Institute, right? And teachers, she's like, now you're going to go home and tell all your people that. Well, I just made that up. And she's like giggling, you know? So pay attention to what you're practicing and ask like you have, why, you know? And don't just take it for granted. So thank you for that. Love that. All right. Anything else wanting to be said? It's perfect. We're going to be talking about practices today. Okay, thank you. All right, announcements. Oh my goodness, so many wonderful announcements for today. First, some Love Your Words community housekeeping. This week, as you know, as of today, we kick off our abundance series. It's a three-part series. We're starting today, and then we'll be continuing as follows: Thursday, February 18th, Thursday, February 25th at our usual time. So it's a three-part series. And we do have an updated course calendar for you now. Yvonne, do you have that link? Can you put that in the chat for them? Thank you. So we've updated our course calendar. You will notice a few changed dates. Our Sales of Stories second call, for a multitude of reasons, got moved to be a little bit later. Our Story Freedom got moved a little bit later. I've been announcing those new dates over the last number of calls. So please update your calendar. These are our most updated. These go all the way to the end of August. So please update your calendar. We work the best we can to bring you the most updated dates. And then sometimes there's some adjustments that come up on the calendar. So please put the big rocks in first. All right. Let me see. A couple of other, my next are questions, and I just want to go past that because we'll get back to questions in a second. Just have to flip my page here for other announcements. Reminder, the game is on. The game is on. And hopefully you know that the game is on. Registration for the game ends tomorrow. So Yvonne, if you also, yes, you've just put that second link in our chat. So the game ends on March 1st. The investment is $10. You can use that link to register for the game if you haven't already. When we win the game collectively, assuming we win, if we win, it's never a guarantee, right? We've won every time. We don't know what's going to happen this time. Every time it's new. We take that $10 and we turn it into $25. I'll give you back $25. For that reason alone, we get it in our bones. When we take these actions, it comes back to me by 2.5-fold. That's a good thing to learn right in our bodies. So the game teaches that and many, many other things. The rules of the game. So you must make a sale, high ticket sale, that's $2,000 or up, or help someone in the community make that sale. We all win or all lose together. I don't really like that. Oh, that's not part of my vocabulary. Lose, we all win or don't win, right? As a team, if you win, everyone gets back the $25. If not, the money gets donated to the charity of my choice. Either way, we win, right? Either way. Masterclass next week. So the game, make sure you've registered. I heard there was a call this morning. Little bird told me there was a call this morning at 8 a.m. Freaking awesome for the game. This is unprecedented. We've been doing the game for, 5 years. No group has ever done that before. Way to go. Yeah, I know. It's like, and James gone like, what? Why not? You know, brilliant, brilliant things have happened in the game before. We have done outstanding things. We have not done this before. This is a new game. It is on. I'm so proud of you guys already. Like, go for it. And the activity that I've been seeing in the Facebook pages this morning, fantastic. So the game is on. March 1st, it ends. Use this opportunity to skyrocket your business for 2021. Masterclass next week. There are two different times to choose from, Monday and Wednesday. It's called Story Mistakes, 3 Reasons Your Personal Story is Blocking Sales. Story Mistakes, 3 Reasons Your Personal Story is Blocking Sales. You can register in the link, thank you, Yvonne, that she's just put in the chat. There's 2 different times to choose from, one on Monday, one on Wednesday. This is one you can invite your friends to. Right. So if you have someone in your life and you go like, they have no idea what I'm doing over here with the story stuff. And you know, this could benefit a friend or a colleague or one of your own clients or a joint venture partner or team member, please go ahead and invite them. I almost forgot. It's right here. For any friend you invite to the masterclass who then enrolls, because we've got a sequence to invite them that follows this into our Stories That Sell Now course. We don't have an official affiliate program, but I'll bonus you. I'll send you back $250 as a thank you, right? Because this work changes lives and we love our clients, and our clients know people whose lives could be changed by this. And this is win-win-win, helps us serve people, helps you by getting a partner in your life who understands this language, right? So it helps you and helps them clearly, because we'll only serve people that we know we can serve and truly make a difference to on this planet. So that's Story Mistakes. You also just want to be on this call because this is, I have different signature talks. The one that I used for many, many years and still use is Stories That Sell. This is a newer one that I just created last summer. And you can watch the structure of that call and ask any questions that you have about it. Why did you do it like this? If you come on Monday and Wednesday, I will change things between, they're both live. I know, because that's what I do. I will change things. Michelle, why did you pull that out? Why did you put that back? Why did you put that in? Why did you, you know, change the pacing of it? Why, you know, why is this piece coming in at that moment? I would be on both those calls and ask questions if I were you. Story Mistakes. You'll watch me make mistakes too. I'll share with you, you know, like, hey, Ms. Michelle, what mistakes did you make? What do you think? What are you going to do differently next time? You have that opportunity when you come to the call. Next, public service announcement for you. Our Facebook challenge. I've been wanting to do a Facebook challenge. It's never been aligned. I'm not going to do it until it's 100% aligned. It's like 1,000% aligned this year. We're doing it. And we've tweaked the title again. You guys heard it early on. And this title has gone through, I don't know, at least 20 or 30 iterations. How and why, you can ask me that as well. But it's April 19th. I'll tell you the title in a second. It's April 19th through the 23rd, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Mountain Time each day. So mark your calendars. This is a public event. We're doing this. It's like 7 hours of deep dive training for free. I'm going to do my best to make this like worth $10,000. You know, it's like this is a free deep dive training event that you can also invite your friends to. You can be on the priority list. And I can tell you, the early bird always wins in this community. Always, always, always. If you, we don't even have the opt-in page for that yet, but email Amy, if you haven't already done so, amy@michellegunderson.com. Tell her I'm coming. You've got it on your calendar. You'll be on the priority list. And I promise you, you're going to be glad that you were on the priority list, right? So, and it's called Influence Through Story. Fast track your business with 3 must-have stories. You don't want to miss it. Story Freedom is May 19th through the 21st. If you're listening to my voice, you have a ticket to Story Freedom. And it's not even in your program. I'm just bonusing you in. May 19th to the 21st. Again, email amy@michellegunderson.com to be on the priority list. Being on the priority list means you've set aside that time on your calendar. You are going to be there. And you're not going to want to miss it. Again, not going to want to miss it. These are wonderful opportunities coming up for you. A lot of free content that we're putting out there in the world, and that you can also invite your friends to. Story Freedom is not free, but it is for you guys, right? So I think that's it for announcements.
Michelle?
Right. Yes.
Want to add the Facebook group?
Oh, did I miss it?
Oh, she added it probably after you printed it. I'll put it in the, so we have a new Facebook group. It's a public group moderated by our team. Michelle created the group to give entrepreneurs like you a space to learn how to captivate your ideal clients with the power of story and have them clamoring to work with you. So here's the link. Join the group. You will love it. Boom.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that, Yvonne. That was a late addition, obviously, to the announcements. It's not on my page. And what I want to say is where our community energy goes in the next 3 weeks is in our Love Your Words Facebook group. That's where the game's happening. There's going to be other stuff to serve and support you in this other Facebook group. So you can be there in both of them. And that's one that you can invite your friends to. The Love Your Words community is for us alone. And tips about the game, how do we win it? Because when we win the game, we win hugely in our companies as well. In the Love Your Words community, anything about the content, any questions you want to post that over the next, these next 3 weeks of the Abundance Series, that's over there in the Love Your Words community. Make sense? All clear on that? Okay. Thank you for that, Yvonne. All right. Anything else? Anything else pulling your mind over here before we head into what's next? All right. I want to go to questions. We've got a couple great questions posted for today before we dive into our new Abundance Series and its material. So Wendy says, as I consider networking options, I would love insights as to what you recommend. Do I go to as many different networking events as possible and meet as many new people as possible? Or do I choose one or two networking groups and focus on building relationships? What do I say to introduce myself as I'm getting started? My goal is to have as many discovery calls as possible. Fantastic, Wendy. So I'd like to cast a wider net as I get started. What other tips do you have for networking? I'll look forward to hearing your answers to our call on Thursday. Okay, so first thing, the first call of practical applications has, 90-minute training on that. You'll hear it with different ears now. So, I want to refer you to the beginning of the practical application series because we have a lot of training on that. But I also want to give you some answers on the court here that build on that training from practical applications. So, where do I go to network? And the way that Wendy structured this question, as many different networking events as possible, I want to rule out the obvious, but a lot of people end up doing this in strange ways. It's like, I am offering fitness training, and so I go and network with Truckers of America or whatever, I don't know. Right? Like, there's a million different places to network. And that may not be where my ideal client hangs out. Now, if I'm a fitness trainer for truckers, especially, for instance, right? And people in the trucking industry, because they've got to stay in shape or whatever, then I really want to be there. So what I want to do is I want to find places, and so it's a great question, Wendy. I want to find places to network. First, I want to know who my ideal client is. Who is that person I'm looking for, right? And we again, in practical applications, multiple different ways to find out who that person is. Who's the one that pays me the most? Remember that one? Who's the one that, right? Or what an earlier version of myself? We go over that in practical applications. So think about who that ideal client is, and then where do they hang out? Because that's the pond that I want to fish in. It may not be that everyone in that audience is my ideal client, but that's where they tend to hang out. One of the places that I, for instance, on Tuesday, I'm speaking for another eWomen chapter. I speak at eWomen a lot. A lot of people who come from eWomen Network are in my ideal client zone, but not all of them. not all of them. Some may not have started a business at all yet. Sometimes we can work with them, sometimes we can't. Some of them might be so engrossed in their story and so in a dark place that they can't hear me, right? Some of them may have a very different kind of business that's not as amenable to the work that we do, or they don't think that story is, you know, that it matters, and they just want tactics or fill in the blank. So those people are there in an e-women audience as well, for example. But a number of the people that are going to resonate with this work are among that group. So that's a great place, for example, for me to network. So can I think about, and one of the ways to find that out, go and talk to your ideal client and ask them where they hang out. Ask them where they hang out. And if you aren't yet working with people directly, then somebody you've volunteered for, somebody you've helped out, or an earlier version of yourself, it might be, right? Where are they actually hanging out? So to go to those places, do I choose one or two networking groups, or do I focus on a lot? You know, you can go to some different groups to figure out what they're like at first, and you'll get a feel for them. There was one writing group that I went to, and I didn't really like anybody there. That's an exaggeration, but I was just like, these are not my people. I didn't go back. Right? Other writing groups, amazing. I'm going to one of them in a week with Marie. Those people are awesome. Very different kinds of writers, you know? I spoke at an event that was designed for writers, and those people were amazing, different energy, right? So that's just to mention one subgroup of people that I work with. It could be, you know, it could be topical, people focused on sales or fitness training or whatever, but that they're trying to grow their business, right? So it doesn't have to be. There are multiple places where you can put your fishing pole in and see who's there, right? Try some out. I like going deeply, close in and going deeply. Instead of trying to make it to 20 different networking events, I want to build relationships strongly in the places where I find my ideal clients and where their values and their culture resonates, right? And those are going to overlap. Right? The values of eWomen Network deeply overlap with the values of this company. So that, for instance, makes sense to me. What do I say when I introduce myself? Again, reference practical applications. There's a lot of training on that. And one of the things I say is that don't let it be too complex. Don't worry too much about your elevator pitch. I usually start out with something. I've said it 10 different ways from Sunday. I usually say something like, hi, I'm Dr. Michelle Gunderson. I help entrepreneurs tell better stories so they can grow their company. I help entrepreneurs just like you tell better stories so they can grow their company. Can you see that I don't have it so rehearsed? I'm tripping over it, you know? It's not something, like one of my teachers said, get it, memorize it, here's 30 seconds, never deviate. Clearly I don't do that, or I wouldn't trip over that one sentence. And I say it different ways. I have some phrases that I've sometimes used. I've been in the field of words and stories for over 25 years. I've been in the field of blank to give yourself some expertise. You go, but I don't have that. You know, you might be surprised. I've been I've worked on in multiple fields that focus on deepening relationships for 10 years. You know, whatever it is, right? So. You can have a few little phrases if you choose, but the biggest thing is like, who are you helping? Why do you do what you do? What your name is? A few words about your company. Doesn't need to be complex, because then you can focus on who's that person in front of you and have a real conversation. Okay. And if you have an elevator pitch because you've got 30 seconds in front of a group, for instance, and you want to run that by me, put it in the question. Here's what I want to say. What do you think? And we could tweak it together on the next call. All right. So it's not that that's not possible. And sometimes we do need this little set thing. Go ahead and ask, and I'll tweak that for you. All right. Let me see. Anything else in that? Other tips for networking? Everything we say in practical applications, every piece. You can go back to those handouts that I've given, networking do's and don'ts and so on. Go through those. And if you have any questions to following up about any one of those, I could do a day long training on any one of those lines under networking do's and don'ts. So if you ask a follow-up question, I can take it deeper. Wendy, does that give you a place to start? Okay, awesome. Dottie posted a couple of questions. This one, I don't even know if it was a question. She said, Michelle, I do know that you only brag about things they would want. In my case, sales, more sales. So how is it that I present myself? The other thing that she was asking about, it was like, how do I tell my credentials? Come to Story Mistakes. I'm going to be talking directly about that on that call. All right. So more information and on that more training on that Monday or Wednesday. I do want to say for us, our purposes here and now, we always want to present both our credibility and our vulnerability. I'm the best thing since whatever our best thing since sliced bread is. I'm the best thing since sliced bread, and I'm better than all of those other people out there. I'm like, nobody's going to listen, right? We want to present that alongside our vulnerability, right? And sometimes if you go watch my 4-minute talk, you'll see me doing that. It's only 4 minutes. So go over to Practical Applications, go watch that 4-minute talk. My vulnerability happens in 20 seconds or less because I don't have time for a lot. And I can even tell you the sentence, it goes like this. It goes right after credibility. I said something like, I used to teach stories at university. You know, I say stories are connected with sales, basically, right? I say stories are connected with sales. That's my background. I used to teach about stories at the university. I used to teach year-long courses about it. That's like credibility in one sentence because it's tied to sales. And then I had to figure out how it worked in the business world, but that's a whole other story. That phrase is my vulnerability. That's all I had time for in 4 minutes. But can you see that both by my expression, if you go watch it, you'll see. And by how I said that, it's like, you can hear behind that. It wasn't so easy when I started and I didn't know how to do it. And I messed up at the beginning, but now here I am. I said it in half a phrase, right? So that I become a person even in 4 minutes. There's a lot that I wanted to cover in 4 minutes, right? So credibility and vulnerability have to go together. You need both. And credibility, when you say, well, it has to be related to what it is you're offering, but my person in front of me in that 4 minutes might not even know they need stories. But I say, hey, stories are everywhere in our companies. Or if I think in that one, I'm linking directly to sales. You know, people walk up to me and say, Michelle, why is it the next, you know, you meet somebody the next day, they're your $20,000 client. That's instant credibility, right? Well, it's like, I don't even have to sell anything anymore. It's just all about the story. So I've got people's attention. That's a ho-hum. I've got credibility. And then I say, but then I had to figure it out here. That clearly shows I messed up before, right? And I've got credibility about university. They don't care about those credentials, really, except when I've made it meaningful to them by saying, you don't even have to sell stuff and you might not like selling stuff. And if you knew about story, you could get around that. And that's my background. Can you see that? If you go watch those 4 minutes, you'll see all of that happening. So yes, it needs to be in the area that they want, but what of your background relates to that depends on the story you tell. And then reference all the work that we do from about story everywhere, right? So let me give you an example. Give you an example from my friend Jennifer. She doesn't always say this, but she had a relationship company before she had a sales company. She had other sales credentials, but sometimes she'll say something like, sales, it's all about relationships. I had a relationship company for several years, and one of the things I know about relationships is this. She just slipped in a half a sentence, a credibility about a deep dive about relationships if she owned a relationship company. But she said, sales, it's all about relationships. So she got a deep dive of something that's really credible in her, but she needed a story to connect it with the thing that she's doing. So don't rule out the things that are lying around on your workshop floor because you go, well, they won't care about that. They won't if you don't tell them why they should care about it. I can't just say that I won. Let me give you another example from my life. When I did Royal Conservatory grade 8 piano, when I was in grade 9 in school, I got the top marks in the city. I was so proud. I actually did. But I, like, who cares, right? You know, yes, it's lying around on my shop room floor. I don't usually tell that story. It doesn't feel relevant. But let's say I were addressing a group of musicians, for instance. I don't know. And I was helping them with sales. Depends on the audience, right? So I might fit that credibility in to say, I know something about your world, right? I remember when I was in grade 9, grade 8, because the story's confusing, right? So I remember in junior high school when I did my grade 8 exam and I just, like, it was crazy hard. but I studied and I practiced. And I know my mom was so proud of me when I came in first that year. But I felt at that time, and I could tell different stories. I felt at that time it wasn't worth it because I had to like tie myself to the piano for 2 hours. Do you know what I mean? Oh yeah. And they're all, you know, and maybe I'm telling that story for a purpose. I've slipped in credibility for that audience. Right? So it depends. Don't diss anything you've got lying around on the shop room floor, but it has to connect. All right. So Dottie, these are great, great questions. So credibility. Oh, another way you can, how do you fit in credibility without sounding like you're bragging? Again, tune in on Monday or Wednesday. But one of the ways to do it is to put something in brackets. I'll probably teach that again. I'll probably mention this again on Monday or Wednesday. That's like, you know, how could I do this? Let's say I was talking about relationship. Let's say I was talking about words, right? And maybe this is a more private conversation too. I might say, well, listen, you know, my PhD is in story. I've worked with words and stories over 25 years. I used to teach university and, a lot of students had trouble with it, but that's not even really where I learned about words. I got to tell you, I learned about words in talking to my ex-husband. I just did vulnerability. And I just said, it's not really that, but everybody just heard that, didn't they? So I kind of put it in brackets, but everybody's going to hear it. Well, there's this and there's this and there's that, you know, but it's not even about that. It's really about this, only if it really is, even if you're actually saying that. You know, when I was, I'm making up, this didn't actually happen. When I was in track, you know, I won this and this and that award, and I run further and faster than I've ever run in my life. But I've been thinking about that these days, not about running at all, but because I'm running the most important race of my life and fill in the blank, because now I'm on the cancer journey, because now I'm building this business, because now I'm, you know, I've created this foundation, whatever it is, right? So I can put it in brackets. People will hear it. There's a lot of credibility and there's also vulnerability and relatability. Make sense? There's a thousand other ways I could answer that, but there's a great start. Okay, helpful? All right, jot down the one from those are two, more than two. Those are great, great questions on the table. There's actually one more. Dottie said, I think you said, I heard you teach stop after one yes. Close, but that's not it, right? So don't stop after one yes. It's one yes at a time. Super important. Thank you for bringing this up in the midst of the game. This applies in all kinds of ways. But we had the example with Jamie asking in practical applications a couple of weeks ago, Michelle, when I'm speaking, I want them to come and work with me. No, you don't. Right? I mean, yes, you do, but no, you don't. You want them to say yes to the free gift. Don't say yes to the free, like, what if when you came into your strategy session as we were starting to work together, let's take Jamie as an example, because somebody had, Kim Yancey had put us together and said, you should go talk to Michelle about story. What if as I walked up to Jamie and I'm thinking about more than one yes, because I know that this potentiality was there. And I said, Jamie, that sounds great. Why don't we have a strategy session? Why don't you listen to this recording as well? Because that will probably help us along the way. Please fill out the survey as well. And I think what you should consider is this high level program and it's going to take you a year. Okay. All those things actually happened, didn't they? They actually did. It's one yes at a time. Why would we go into the next one if it's a no anyway, right? Hey, Jamie, I'm so glad he put us together. Would you love to chat? I'd love to chat with you. Would you like to? And even if it's a no, why would I say anything else anyway? Great. Can we get that on the calendar? There's another yes. What time are you free? Yes. Right. Hey, I'm so excited we're meeting. It will give me a jumpstart if I can learn more about you, if you'll fill out the survey. Could you take a minute? It won't take long. A lot of people have said it's really made a difference in their business. All of it authentic, all of it real, only one yes at a time. Make sense? So important for your strategy sessions coming up. And even if it's a connection call versus a strategy session. Hey, person that I haven't seen in 10 years, would you like to buy something from me? Versus a Facebook note. Hi, how are you doing? Or like a text. Hi, Josie. I don't even know if this is your number anymore. Do I have the right number? Yes. Great, Josie. How are you doing? Are you still living in Calgary? Yes. I'm so glad to be connected with you again. I'd love to catch up. How have you been doing? Would you like to get together? Even that a little bit fast, maybe, but you know, would you like to get together? And then I go to connection call, not a strategy session. Maybe it's somebody I know that, you know, or, hey, I just heard your so-and-so died, or you just got this award, or congratulations. One real conversation, one yes at a time. Jamie, you had your hand up.
So it's funny, I was telling Marie earlier, after you and I had this conversation after that class, right? The one reason I was asking it is because I was stuck doing my challenge. After the week is done, I felt like, well, what's the point of it coming out of it? I want to move them to, they should buy my service. And what you said was eye-opening. And so it completely changed how I was planning out the nurturing after that week. Okay. So I slowly moved them along in 4 emails. And I had a group of people test that challenge for me last week. And one of them called me and said, I just want to let you know, I loved that. But on the last day, I was so into it and I completed it. And then I felt like you didn't even sell me on it. I was waiting for it. So but I think I'm hearing you here, because when Marie and I worked on this language, it's a softer, so it's a thank you. Okay. We hope you enjoyed it. And at that very moment, I'm placing in a softer, you know, if this really resonated with you, there are ways we can integrate it. If you're feeling inspired to continue, let's talk. And then they can choose yes or no. They can ignore that there, right? But then they still get the nurture.
Yeah. So this is this is a whole day workshop we could do on this, right? But the thing that I want to mention is that, and it's right back to practical applications, problem, solution. What's the problem you're solving, and what's the solution that you're giving them? And then what's the new problem they have, and what's the new solution? And also to begin with the end in mind. So for instance, with the Facebook challenge, we thought long and hard about it. And the thing that we're doing next is story freedom. So we are designing the Facebook challenge to have people to create hunger and desire for story freedom. Now they're going to get 7.5 hours of freaking free content. I mean, we're going to work hard to create that. It's value, give first, right? But the whole thing is reverse engineered and designed for that next step. So in your plan, do review, what you want to do for the next time around, if you're already engaged in this and it's already created and so on, is go, when from the get-go in starting it out, in creating it, where is it that I want to take them? It's the same for your talk. It's the same for a strategy session. It's the same for everything. You begin with the end in mind, and that is going to deeply construct the thing that it is that you're doing. So it's not a tag on afterwards. It's always intricately interwoven in everything that I do, which is why, for instance, we thought long and hard about the Facebook challenge and its title. We were thinking about many different aspects of it. Who would be attracted to this? Are we aiming at the right level client? What is their pain in the title that we gave? Is it tactical and tangible so that people want to show up and know that they receive something on the court that they can use immediately? You will hear all those things in our title. And then is it a title that we can easily create a PSPS that goes over to, for those who are the right people, that goes into our 3-day event from there, right? And if that's like, wow, that's too many moving parts and my head's hurting. For some of you, it's like, you're so ready for that. It's like, I got it. And for others, it's like, what? Think of it this way. If I interrupted this call and walked over to Dana's room and she's busy doing other stuff, people are always busy, right? Maybe she's even in a class. I don't even know what's happening with her right now. I walk in and go, hey, just a sec, Dana, I want you for something. Will you come here, please? I better have thought through where I want her to come or go to before I walk in the door. It's just common sense, but we miss it in our businesses often. hey, Dana, and the more I know about my ideal client, the better. Hey, Dana, I know you just got out of a call, because I should check her schedule, right? I know you just got out of a call and you're probably hungry. I have 10 minutes to make some lunch, and I wanted to make some for you too. Would you like some? Right? Knowing the ideal client, knowing as much as I can about them, knowing where it is that I want to take them, having a specific call to action, one yes at a time. Helpful? Jamie, did that answer your question? And I'm getting a big thumbs up from Dottie. Jamie, helpful? Okay, good. All right. Jot down one aha, your biggest aha. If you have more time, jot down two or three from those questions. These were fabulous questions, a great review of some of the places we've been. And just a reminder, go back there. There's more there than you think. Right? Every single line, that's one of the 10 key points for speaking. We used two of them today. Begin with the end in mind and have a strong PSPS. I also taught a little bit again about ho-hum, grabbing somebody's attention. All of these things apply in so many places in our companies. Keep going back there. You'll see richer and more things. Take a minute, jot it down, your biggest aha. Okay, thank you. Let's hear one of these, just a sentence, not more than two. What was your aha from those wonderful questions? Yeah, Dottie, thank you.
The thing I love the most is what you just said to your daughter. I always want to be a follow-up relationship kind of person, but your words of, I'm in between classes, I'm in between talks, whatever. I only have 10 minutes, but I wanted to know how you're doing. I love and cherish that.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's how we use words over here. It's the same as in our company. And sometimes if we think about how we would do it with the person in our family, we can hear it better. Because he probably wouldn't walk in your equivalent in your home and go, hey, I don't know what you're in the middle of, But would you come here for a second? I'm not even sure exactly why. We just wouldn't do that. It's not human nature. We would have an intentionality of where we want them to go. And we would naturally tend to say one yes at a time. At least if we're used to being listened to. If we're not used to being listened to, we probably made that mistake. Dan, would you please come over here, because I want you to eat this for 10, and we can have lunch for 10 minutes. And by the way, afterwards, I would like you to take out the garbage. It has to be 3 o'clock because, not effective parenting. They won't hear any of it. They'll go, wah, 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 and they'll tune out. Same thing happens in sales. Same thing happens in our companies. So thank you for that, Dottie. Let's hear one more. What did you hear for you in this training from these questions before we move into abundance, our abundance material for today? Let's hear from one more of you. One aha arising for you from the responses to these questions. Yeah, Yvonne, thank you.
What do you want them to do? So start with begin with the end in mind, and then work your way backwards to, whatever you're creating is supporting your call to action.
Yes. Thank you. And when I tell the story about Dana, it only makes sense, doesn't it? We're doing it for reasons that are deeply heart-centered for that person. Okay, good. Really good. And also to make it easy for ourselves. When I walk in and say, Dana, I don't even know exactly what I want from you. And what are you doing here anyway? You're in the middle of a presentation. Sorry. It messes up her life and mine. So we just, out of heart-centeredness for both of us, this is how we do. Okay, really great. Let's take a collective breath, inhaling. Exhale, let it go. And again, inhaling. Exhale, let it go. All right. the Abundance Series. I don't always have a title for you, but I do today. The Power of Practice, Making Abundance Real in Your Business and Your Life. I have used this title before, but we have never seen this training before. So if you've been around the block more than once, this is an all new training on abundance. And in my view, it's the biggest shift ever in the 11 years in this company. Not in this company, 11 years of the existence of the Love Your Words community. The world has changed. My own world has deepened. I was thinking, like, what caused our best year ever in 2020? In the midst of a pandemic, this is our best year ever. We've grown the company, we've grown the team, we've grown the our content, we've grown financially, we've grown at every level. How did this happen? And big keys to that here in this Abundance Series. So it is all new. The title's still the same. You're going to still see some themes the same, but I've never put it together in this way ever before. This has been being born over this last year, all right? So today, I want to share with you in this three-part abundance series, what are the three keys to abundance that we're going to be diving into over these next 3 weeks? You know, why abundance? I'm going to introduce you to the first concept about abundance, and then we're going to dive in and see how we actually use this on the course, all right? And the first concept, I've already given you the one-word title of it, which means more than I can say in 10 seconds here, the word practice. All right. So, first, the three key concepts for creating abundance. Actually, I guess I'm going to change this around from what my notes say. Why abundance? Anyway, so my notes say why abundance next, but before I tell you the three key concepts, let's reverse that. Why would we be focused on abundance? Why do we want a series on abundance? What do you think? I mean, you could just Google it and we could be done with it. Why does it matter to you? What do you hear in the word abundance? A lot of false closure around this too. It's like, okay, got it, next. But it's really important, really meaningful, and deeply connected with the game. Why abundance? Yeah, Mary Kay.
Enough.
Enough. Tell us more about that. I hear it. Tell us more so we hear what's behind that.
It's like enough. It like goes further. It goes everywhere. It goes out in the universe. It comes and swirls back and goes everywhere.
I love that the best way that Mary Kay's been like is her arms, you know, because it's like, well, Michelle, it's like this, it's big, it's, you know, it's enoughness too. And if you think about it, the opposite of abundance, scarcity. We're in the midst of the game where we're learning how to make offers, how to close strategy sessions, how to have those high level clients that we work with that we love, right? And if we come in with the opposite of that, Mary Kay's talking about enoughness, like scarcity. It's like, wow, I got to find that next client. Oh my goodness, I got to hurry up. And you know, like, oh no, I'm not enough. They're not enough. It's not going to be enough. Blah, blah, blah. Like, oh man, that is the editor embodied. Abundance is like the opposite of that. The deep enoughness is one way to think about it. The deep, like the deep knowingness that there's more than enough. When I took my first, this isn't in my notes, but when I took my first economics class at university, and I went up to like fourth year honor micro and macroeconomics, and then I went, wait, there's some stuff in here. This is interesting, but some parts of it are screwy, you know. And I'm like, I started studying other things, but it's the beginning premise, the beginning of any, when I used to teach college, the person in the office next to me taught economics and we used to chat all the time. And she used to say this phrase to me all the time because it's the foundation of economics as it's taught in the West. We live in a world of scarce resources. That's the foundation of any economics. We live in a world of scarce resources. She would say it all the time, you know? She would walk up to people and end up saying it because that's just true. It's just obvious. And then we start from there and build a whole system on it. Mary Kay's word enough is the antidote to that. We start with a world of scarce resources, so we better clamor over those things that there's not enough of. And we think of business in this way. We think of, you know, my share of the market and somebody else has the business and then I don't. And it's like, oh man, my stomach starts hurting. If that's what we don't want, what if we could start from a completely different premise? What if there's more than enough? What if there are more than enough clients on the planet so they don't have to grab somebody else's or worry that they're getting their share? What if there are more than enough ideas? It's like, oh no, somebody stole my idea and now everything's gone downhill. What if there's more than enough? What if there's more than enough time to win the game? What if there's more than enough resources? What if you know more than enough to close that sale tomorrow? Can you hear it? Abundance. What else do you hear in that word abundance? Why abundance? Yeah, Wendy.
This is like just kind of a silly example, but if we look at nature, if we look at Mother Earth, there is so much abundance. We're building a home out in the country and behind our property, there's this like field of pumpkins. And I kept watching these pumpkins and I kept thinking, when are they going to come get all the pumpkins? And I even said to the builder, I'm like, what are they doing with all the pumpkins? Like, when are they going to come get them? And he's like, they already came and got what they wanted. And I'm like, it looks like a whole pumpkin patch is still left. Like, it doesn't look like they took anything. And he's like, I was like, what are they going to do with them? And he's like, well, I don't know. They'll probably feed them to the cows or I don't know. They didn't even feed them to the cows. They just came in and tilled them all back up and put them right back into Mother Earth. And I was like, if we just get outside of our little brains and just look around, like, this spring, I was watching the trees and the blossoms and how many of the blossoms end up on the ground just being blown around. And what would that tree do if that didn't happen? Like that tree wouldn't be able to hold all of the blossoms. And so just there really is, it's more than enough. There is plenty.
That's exactly the words that were going to come out of my mouth next. And then you said them, you know, the more than enoughness of our world. What if we start from that place? Tithing as a practice comes from that. I've got more than enough already. And I give this to another human being because I've got more than enough. When I work with a team, it's like, well, money is not meant to be like this pool and I got to guard it because it's scarce. It's like, it flows. It comes to me and then it goes through me. It goes to somebody else. And then it comes back again. Yesterday, I got this beautiful little, like, it's like a little miniature handmade picnic table. You know, it's like this size, made by an artisan in Northern Alberta. I just was so excited. I'm like, Dana, we don't really need this, but I just love it. And it's supporting this artisan. And they were so happy. And it's like money comes in and then it goes out and here's supporting an artisan. What if our world and our business could be constructed at that level? How would our lives feel then? So thank you. Yes, beautiful. Thank you, Mary Kate. Thank you, Wendy. Abundance, more than enoughness. So why abundance? Why this series? Well, isn't that what we want? But if I say we want, oh, we need it because we don't have it. That's scarcity, editor. It's like the opposite of the editor. We want that and to know that in all areas of our lives. What if there are, and it could be anything. There's more than enough masks to go around. It's like, no, there's not. There's like, it's terrible. And we're all, you know, there's more than enough oxygen out there to breathe. There's more than enough. What if we could, you know, come from a place of more than enoughness in all of that, in every area? That's one reason for abundance. Another reason to focus there is that, well, think about it. It's connected with the game. The game brings us financial abundance, correct? There we're focused on sales, we're focused on financial abundance. But here's the thing, the why for abundance, sometimes because of prior structures, because of stories we've been told, we kind of mess it up inside our minds and the editor grabs a hold in and around financial abundance. Make sense? We've been given old stories about it. So much so that I brought my daughter to a 3-day event to unhook that in her, whatever pieces were still in me from the way that I was unconsciously accidentally raised. My parents did their best, right? Yeah, we hear it from teachers. Money doesn't grow on trees, et cetera, et cetera. I wanted my daughter to have an antidote from when she was very little, deep dive training. So when she'd come home and the teacher say, money doesn't grow on trees or whatever it is, she would just laugh. It's an abundant world, you know? So sometimes we mess it up in the area of finances, but we can touch it like Wendy's talking about with the trees and the pumpkins and Mary Kay with her arms. And when we can touch it over there, we can transfer that excellence over as well to the financial space, not because that's primary, not because it's more than or lesser than, it's just one piece of the abundance of our lives. but that's an area that tends to be sticky. And so if we can find it over here, we can transfer it over there, right? And because often in the financial world too, we keep telling, and we do this in other areas too, but we keep telling the same story about why we're here at this point. Well, you know, I would have had money, but, you know, like I said, I would have had a body that I like, but I would have had the relationship that I want, but we do it in other areas too, but in and around money often, and we want to explain why we are where we are. I would have had money, but I ran into this bump, and so therefore this is where I am, because we so know our, we so want to understand and live our own value, and we know we're designed to be abundant. And if we're not feeling that in the moment, we want, it's like we want to create, I don't want to say excuses, but we want to say why it is, so we don't feel so bad about ourselves. And then we grind in the present and the pieces of it we don't like further and further. That may be the most important opening for some of you on this call. Here's where I am right now, but now I want to create something different. No. What if we created that story of abundance? What if we, what, in a sec, what if we created that story of abundance right from the foundational level? What if we know that and feel that and transfer it over there to that financial area as well, and learn how to actually not just have it as a sentence, but actually live it moment by moment, day by day, and know it in our lives. Yeah, go ahead, Wendy.
I was just going to say, I don't remember what I was doing, but somewhere I was reminded that the buts can be our excuses, or if we're in that state of curiosity, the buts will show us where our growing edges and what we're being invited into to see differently.
See, and Wendy is like exhibiting an abundance mindset right now. Can you hear it? Oh no, every time I say but, something bad, some people say, don't ever say the word but or something. Like, you've heard those trainings before, right? Oh no, because it's a bad word. There aren't bad words. This is how we use them, right? Oh no, if I use that word but, it means something bad has happened and the world is not, there's not enough and everything's going to go bad. But Wendy wasn't saying that. She was saying, oh, sometimes it opens to bigger opportunity. And she's like showing abundance right with her words, right with your words, Wendy, and how you're looking at the world in that moment in and around the word but. I love that. Beautiful. Thank you for showing that, you know, the actual abundance mindset act and then how we actually live it in our lives. That's what this series is about. Not some theoretical, just some theoretical notion of it. All right. So we want it in all areas of our lives. The financial area is sometimes, you know, mixed up. So when we can find it in other areas first and then transfer that excellence. And we also want it in the financial area, therefore the game. And the game is structured very specifically to support you in that financial area. Because if we just leave the financial area off to the side, it'll be where we last left it when we next pick it up, you know? We don't think about money for a while, but we've thought about it in the same way for 20 years. And then don't think about it and then come back to it. We'll come back to it where we left off. So we want to start shifting that story in around money, in around sales and so on, and create that full abundance, including the financial area of our lives, all right? So abundance. There's the why for the abundance series. The three concepts we're going to dive into. Actually, you don't need to know that right now. I don't want your mind over there. This is an abundance of trainings that are going to happen in these next few weeks that are going to serve and support you to create that abundance in your life. And the first, I'm just going to introduce you to the first concept today. And that is practice. It's funny. Practice is a concept. It's in our heads, but it is about driving us out there into the world to do stuff. So what is practice? And remember the title of this call, The Power of Practice, Making Abundance Real in Your Business and Your Life. Practice. If you Google it, here's one definition I found. The actual application or use of an idea, belief, or method as opposed to theories about such. Sometimes at the university, it would drive me crazy. Here's all these great ideas about how we could change the world. And let's talk about it again tomorrow. And let's talk about it again tomorrow. How about we actually go do something? And I remember it was in, if any of you have seen that movie, The Life of Brian, many years ago now, Monty Python movie. And one of this group's members has been kidnapped. And they sit down and have a committee meeting about it, you know? And the only woman on the team goes, wait, no, you guys, it's happening right now. They just took him away. We got to go and save him. And they go, yes, okay. Motion number one, subsection point three. They're going, no, you don't understand. It's happening now. We got to get up and now. Yes, let's sit down and plan. So practice. Abundance is a practice. What are we actually doing on the court that creates this for us? All right. So, not just a theory. Let me give you an example of practice. In yoga, I want to align my knee, all right? If my knee is over this way, but my toes are pointed this way, what am I going to end up with? A bad knee, right? So I could theorize about moving my knee. I could think about doing a yoga practice and you know, have my knee move. I could visualize about it. I could meditate about it. All those things are good. I'm not dissing any of those things. But I actually also simply want to move my knee. That's an action. It's a practice. And all the theories about it, if I don't actually move my knee 10 years from now, or maybe next year, I'm still going to end up with a bum knee. Make sense? So the practice of just moving my knee in line. And now this, I mentioned this as practice, moving my knee in line, and gave you that analogy, that example from yoga, because it's weird. Sometimes what we do is our knee's out of line and then we beat ourselves up and all that editor. Oh no, I've always had my knee out of line. Oh no, I'll probably never get my knee in line. Oh no, I'm a bad person because I have my knee out of line. Can we let all that stuff go and simply move the knee in line? With love and kindness toward ourselves, this will connect with our next series after our story series, all right? Can we just move the knee in line? So the whole question about practice is some practices help us and some harm us. And some of them we're not even conscious of, right? But can I just see what are my practices and then move my knee in line? Make sense? The game is designed to do that in the area of sales and finances. Well, and it teaches it on many, many different levels. That more than, you know, I don't have time to go into all of them. I don't want to take the time to go into all of them. I don't have time. That's scarcity. I'm not going to take the time to go into all of them today because we don't need to. But one of the things it teaches is an abundant world. We all win the game together. It was set up deliberately that way. It's because I don't think of the world as winners and losers, you know? And let's all do this collectively. And we can all win, right? So what practices do I have in my life that set up both an abundance mindset and allow that to be actually physically in my life? So I want you to give me some examples. What are some examples of some practices that could either serve or not serve me? Some practices maybe that you have in your life that you're happy about, some practices you want to change. Like, give me some examples of, because practice happens all over the place. In the yoga tradition, they have like 5 different words for practice because it's a very nuanced thing. Don't worry, want to worry about the details of that right now. Just give me some examples of practices in your own life. Yeah, Yvonne.
Meditation.
Yeah, meditation. Remember, Jack Canfield says 1 hour of work in the inner world is equivalent to 7 hours in the outer world. Are you working too hard? So if I go, well, I don't have time to meditate. It happens to me too, right? I don't have time to meditate because I got all this stuff to do. That practice of not doing it is not supporting me. Some kind of inner world work so that I don't have to work so hard, not to mention all those other benefits, right? Thank you. Give me some other examples of practices. Wendy, I saw you on mute, and then Dottie, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm not being very good at raising my hand for some reason today.
And Dottie, don't let that go to your, that was random. Don't let it go to your editor. And I'm seeing that Dottie isn't, right? That could have been a moment of scarcity for Dottie, and it's not at all. Wendy, go ahead.
I love with my little gal at night, we snuggle on the couch before she goes to bed, and we talk about what was our favorite thing from the day and things that we're grateful for.
So fantastic. I can have practices with my children. I can have practices with family members and friends. I can have practices, rituals at the end of my day. Super important. What practices do I have? Thank you. Love it. Dottie, what else?
I love reading the Bible. I just adore it. Took me 30 years to love it. Now I can't get enough of it.
Yeah. So some practices grow. used to be not a helpful practice to you, so it seemed, and then you stayed with it. And the yoga practice, they talk about that too. It's like practices are things that we return to, and we return and we return and we return. And sometimes when it's something that we know is beneficial, maybe the first time I meditate and I go, oh, that's, you know, or the first time you read the Bible, it's like, that's really awful. But it's something that I've learned and I know is helpful and supportive to me. So I continue on and I continue to do it. And I find ways to draw myself in to do that so that I actually create a different life, right? A different company, different life. All right, let's hear. Let me see. No, jot down. Let me see. Jot down your one aha about practices right now. Yvonne, you had your hand up?
Andrea did.
Andrea, I missed you. Andrea, you go. It's funny because I was thinking, is there anybody? You went, no, I totally missed you. Thank you, Yvonne, for the sad face. Andrea, you go.
For me, it was, I have practices that are really great, but I needed to practice being good at receiving. I'm a great giver, and I was not great at receiving. And if I can't receive from other people around me, I'm not going to receive abundance. So I had to start creating a receiving practice, and then noticing throughout my day, like when I receive kindness or I receive love or those things, it was a big game changer for me.
I love it. Thank you so much, Andrea. And thank you, Yvonne, for so that we have this added to our discussion about practice, because this is huge. This is a piece that from the game, it's training us to expect to receive and to learn to the and to be open to receiving financially, support from the community, and all kinds of, it's training at all kinds of levels, right? And this was something that happened in my company a few years ago. You know, the company was growing and was getting bigger. And I realized I was about to do that next strategy session, and I caught my own mind. And it's feeling of the opposite kind of the not helpful kind of enoughness. Michelle, that's enough. Your having level is only this. And I had to investigate that, because if I couldn't receive from that person that I was just in the strategy sessions with, what if they said yes? I would have to receive more money, right? It sounds bizarre, but if I'm not open to increasing my having level, there's a person out there, if I have a company, that I'm not going to serve that I could have been serving. And for heart-centered group, I say it in that way on purpose, because it's like, oh, wait, I wouldn't want to do that to that person. I guess I better receive, right? It's kind of tricky end round around a sticky editor about, oh, I've already had my share. Women are like that too. You know, I think we're trained as women. It's like, oh, you know, give it away to that other person. And we're trained to be generous in that way, in a way that is short-sighted. Because what if I didn't receive? That person did say yes. That person actually did say yes, and it was life-changing for them. If I hadn't consciously increased my having level before that call, I couldn't have helped that person. So our inner world practices, and practices at all levels, interact with each other, and they matter. They are the life that we are weaving. Yvonne.
It was always interesting to see when I was still running my eWomen at Work events, and we always did a raffle for the foundation, and there were multiple prizes and people bought tickets for them. And, you know, without Phil, there would be, you know, a month where one person would rake in, you know, like two or three prizes, and the embarrassment, you know, that they had, like, oh, you know, I already won something, you know, and they were, you know, like begging not to receive another gift. And, you know, and all of us would go like, no, it's yours. You know, the universe wants you to receive. And they would be horrified. You know, it was very interesting to watch.
And it's very interesting too, to think about what's happening in their company. If how you do anything is how you do everything. I'm sorry, I've already had enough. You already know something about what's probably going on in that person's company, right? And openness to sales. This I learned deeply at Peak Potentials. Now, they didn't always do it in a way that I would want to do, but I learned the lesson. And I was like learning a lesson there. When there was an offer, some people don't walk out of the room if Harv Eckers is doing an offer, because he will not do this skillfully, I would say. But the point that he was making was really important. If you're not willing to listen to offers, if you're not willing to receive, if you don't think there's something, if you have a, like, offers are bad, you know, if that's our practice, Over here, offers are bad, but over here, I'm going to make an offer to somebody. There's a disconnect. What are we practicing? What are we practicing in our inner world and our outer world? What are our unconscious practices that we may not even know about? So, and if it makes sense to you, that what we want to cultivate in this series to our abundance practices. At first, we need to pay attention to our practices. That makes sense because that makes up our company and our life. And second, we would want to create abundance practices. If both of those sentences now really make sense to you, raise your hand. Did we get there? Thank you. Yes. And Mary Kay, thank you for that. It's like, not necessarily so. Part way there. I appreciate that. Satya, truthfulness. It was like, maybe. All right. So what are the practices that I have in my life? These practices make up the life that I have. The practices matter. And the practices happen at all levels of our lives. One of those practices is to have a practice of abundance, because if I don't, I'm having a practice of scarcity. And I would much rather live envisioning and creating an abundant world for myself, for all beings everywhere. Myself, my clients, my team, all beings everywhere. All right. So how do we then start to practice differently? I mean, how do we go, okay, well, I'm going to, oh my goodness, there's all these bad practices and I have to weed them out. Oh, you know, I'm tired already. That doesn't seem like a good way to approach practices. So I want to give you a couple of guidelines of ways to approach the shifting of practices, both the noticing of practices and the shifting of practices in order to create abundance in our lives and the lives of others. And isn't that what we want for our planet as well, right? That the earth be abundant and fertile and not, and we know not the opposite, you know, trees that are dead and oxygen that doesn't, you know, that's filled with pollutants or whatever. Don't we want that abundance of care for the planet, abundance of care for each other, abundance of love and kindness for ourselves and others, et cetera. How do we do that? I want to give you a couple practices. Now, I don't have to take up all these practices, choose, right? But here's a bunch of practices that you could do that, in my experience, deeply produce both a consciousness of practice, a shifting of practices toward something better and better for ourselves, our companies, and the planet, and just a happier life, right? Those all go together in my books. One thing you can look at is, what am I tolerating? This can be a profoundly important question. What am I tolerating? I can tell you some of them already for me, practices and about practice and abundance that I want to shift. I'm tolerating staying up later than I want to be and not as much of alignment to my yoga practice as I want in the last month or so. It's not been as aligned as I would like it to be. I know I'm tolerating that right now. There's a place where I could shift my practices. What else am I tolerating? Sometimes I'm tolerating not being as patient with my daughter as I want to be. Those two things go together. Do you get what I'm saying? Because if I'm not as attuned to my yoga practice, sometimes I'm going to be, you know, quicker with her because I'm not as aligned as I want to be. So taking 10 minutes, 20 minutes to jot down, what am I tolerating? And then what's the opposite of that? Not to stay with that. It's like, okay, then what do I want to shift? And you probably already know a whole bunch of things that you're tolerating, but you don't want to look there, right? Just to notice, not to stay there, but just to notice so that it can be shifted, right? So that's the first place. The second thing that I want to say about practices is the trouble with New Year's resolutions. This list about tolerant, what am I tolerating, could lead to, okay, well, I'm going to change these 10,000 areas, you know, today. New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose 30 pounds this week. I'm going to, you know, be nicer to my partner. We all know it's like a grocery list. We all know. I used to go to the gym all the time before COVID-19, and there was a rhythm, same rhythm at church. You know, people would show up at these times whenever, right? And we know there's going to be this flood of people in the gym, and all the regulars would know that in January, everybody's going to come. And by February, it's going to be normal again. Everybody's going to be gone. You know, that's the kind of practice that we don't want, right? So what am I tolerating, looking at what I don't want, right? What I know that I want to shift. And the second thing, not doing a grocery list like those New Year's resolutions. The third thing, start with one practice at a time to create real change. I've given you one clear area where you can start creating a very different practice. That's in your relationship to sales, thus the game. You already have a great place that's like, what am I tolerating? Maybe I'm tolerating fewer sales in my company than I want. Maybe I'm charging less than I think that I know I have the capacity. Maybe I'm having fewer conversations because there's something in me that small self is holding me back, right? We have, you've been given through your investment in this community and through the game that I've given you and that we've collectively created a huge opportunity to shift a practice that is life shifting for all the reasons that we talked about in Sales a Story. How do you want to use this opportunity in front of you? And do I have a habit, a practice of when there's an opportunity in front of me of seizing it or going, oh, wait, I'll wait till next time. Or no, that's not good enough. Or just notice our practices. So watch how you're playing. Watch how you're playing, right? So what am I tolerating? Not New Year's resolutions. Start with one practice at a time. And I've given you one, a deep dive on multiple levels that you don't have to do alone, right? Number four, the fourth thing about practice is I want to suggest to you that you do this as you're shifting your practice, becoming more aware of and starting to shift your practices and choosing where you want to put your focus. Do all this with a deep loving kindness toward yourself and others, of course, but a deep loving kindness toward yourself. Now we'll have a loving kindness series to talk more about that. I've got 10 seconds here to tell you about it, all right? But think about that, the example that I gave about my knee. We do this with sales and our company and all kinds of areas all the time. Oh no, my knee's out of line. Let me look at what's happening. Right now, my knee's out of line. Oh no, it's been out of line for a long while. Oh my, my teacher probably told me before. Like, isn't that awful, right? But we do it. You know, isn't that awful? My teacher probably told me before and I didn't listen. Oh, my teacher never told me. Somebody else ought to have told me that I ought to have moved my knee. Has anything happened to change anything yet? Everything's just ground in further. I'm just explaining why my knee's out of line. Or I could just move my knee. Practice. I can even do it once I've moved my knee. Finally, I've moved my knee. Oh my goodness, why didn't I move my knee yesterday? I should have moved my knee yesterday. Probably there's going to be a problem. I'm saying it about a knee because it's not what we're doing right now and it's easier to see over there. Wow, I should have been selling more before. Oh, I don't know how to find my high ticket. Don't we do that? I don't know how to find my high ticket client. I don't have enough information. I haven't been given enough information. I was probably given the information, but I can't use it. It's the very same thing. The game is designed to help you unplug all of that. Create a different story, a different practice, right? So do it all with loving kindness toward yourself. Don't worry about why you are where you are. You are in the perfect place, right where you are. Loving kindness toward where you are right now. And then also loving kindness toward that those changes you're making. Look, I have had, and Yvonne knows, I've had that intentionality to make sure that I'm honoring my yoga practice. Have I been? No, not as well as I would like to. Did I beat myself up for it? What's that going to accomplish? How about if I just notice and move my knee in line? How about if I just start to notice when I'm morning and evening practices? How about if I start honoring my bedtime more so I wake up a little earlier so that I practice before my daughter gets up, before my day gets going? These practices are interconnected, right? So loving kindness towards self, it doesn't matter how long it didn't happen, what's going on now, let it all go. We'll have a letting go series later, right? And choose the areas where you want to make a difference. What am I tolerating? Not New Year's resolutions. Start with one practice. I've given you the game. Loving kindness towards self, number four. Number five, another way you can do this. What's one practice? I learned this with Sandra Yancey. What's one practice that I want to start? One thing I want to start. What's one thing I want to stop in a given week? And what's one thing I want to maintain? One thing I want to maintain, I've been eating with my daughter better than ever. I want to maintain that. There isn't something I want to grow about that, change, make better, shift up. Like, I just want to keep maintaining that. What's one thing I want to change? I want to get to my yoga practice in the morning. I want to book those strategy sessions and I'll put it on my calendar, whatever it is for you, right? That around sales, right? Whatever the intentionality is. So one thing I want to start and one thing I want to stop doing. You see, the starting and the stopping might be the same. I want to start honoring my yoga practice more. I want to stop staying like watching electronics late at night. I slipped into it last night. Loving kindness towards self. oh, well, it's okay. I was doing something useful. Oh, well, it was too late at night. These things are related. I just move the knee in line. And then particularly because we're in the midst of the game. Oh no, these last five people said no, I must be doing something wrong. I must be saying the wrong things. I can't do it right, etc. Instead, thanks Yvonne. Instead, what can I do with this conversation with this real live human being in front of me? How can I put these calls on my calendar for next week? Where is it that I could go networking? Wendy could go, oh no, I networked in all the wrong places. I hate all these people. Nobody heard me. Oh, well, just move the knee. Let me try this next place, or let me try this different approach at this one place with loving kindness towards self. All right. So just checking my notes as we get toward the end of our call here. I want to just share with you a couple of reminders. We are in the middle of a game. The chance to register for the game is, the deadline is tomorrow. It's in the chat where you register. Remember, story mistakes, please register for it. It's on Monday and on Wednesday. This is a great practice if you have your own talk, and you ought to, and if you don't, go reference practical applications, right? And you kind of witness it on the court, then ask me questions about it. It's something you can bring your friends to as well. Please put the Facebook challenge, Story Freedom, on the calendar. Please take out the calendar and put those dates onto the calendar so you put the big rocks in first. Reminder to post your questions. Thank you, Dottie. Thank you, Mary Kay, for those. Did I say Mary Kay? Thank you, Wendy, and thank you, Dottie. And you know, Mary Kay, you're always posting questions. So if you did this time, I missed it. You know, so thank you for the outstanding questions, Wendy, Dottie. They're beautiful, so helpful. Keep posting your questions. This is preaching to the converted here. You know, thank you, and keep up. That's something you can maintain. Keep up that great work. All right, so we're going to end. We're just at 2 minutes to here. One aha. One inspired action. Remember, the game is on. I love those. Goodness, when I heard about that 8 a.m. the game meeting this morning, I was doing the happy dance, right? So, and if you don't know about that, I found out about it through the grapevine. The little bird told me, just go lean in, find out. It's like, oh no, I didn't find out about it. I missed it. I mean, no, just move the knee in line. It's a great place and many other ways to connect. Remember, Facebook, our Facebook page is our water cooler. It's our place to connect. It's our place to grow every aspect of the game. We have these this month of February together to grow this, and it will touch every area of your company and your life, but we haven't talked about why your life as much, but it will. And we did a little bit of sales of story. It touches in every area of our lives. All right. One aha about practice, abundance, about anything that came up in the call. One inspired action so that we're practicing this so it doesn't stay as head knowledge. And if you need to leave before it's your turn, go and post in the Facebook page. Dottie, you're up in my upper left-hand corner. You're up first. One aha, one inspired action.
The whole day, my hand hurts. I've tried to write so fast. Really, it was incredible. It was wonderful. The thing I'm going to walk away with, I think, if I had to pick one, which I don't like having to do because there's so many, but I'm going to start with the practice of one thing at a time.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
And what's your inspired action? What are you actually going to do? An action that you could check off so we know that you're bringing that out in very tangible ways in real practices in the world.
I'm going to look at the Facebook challenge that you're starting and see if I can. It's a big rock and I'm going to fit it in.
Fantastic. Check offable, done. And that's that one action has a multitude of results. Thank you, Dottie. Mary Kay, you're up next.
I discovered a block to a need that's not being met out there that I am expert at. And the block is that I thought I had to be pure in this practice. And I don't. There's so many people out there. There's so many people that you can go down a different road to get to the main road.
So beautiful. Thank you. Sometimes I think I have to just get it. I don't know if this is exactly, but just get it absolutely perfect. Absolutely, you know, until I've got that 100%, 1,000,000% mastery, I can't pass it on. I can't share it. With many things, I just need to be one inch ahead of the other person. And I have already something to share. And that is an abundance mindset. Thank you, Mary Kay. Is that energetically in the realm of what you're talking about?
Not exactly, but that's okay.
and that also is an abundance mindset and a letting go too. It's like, Michelle, you didn't quite hear it, but it works for me and I get it. Anything else you want to say about that before we move on to the inspired action? You can add to it if you want, if I didn't quite hear it.
Well, I guess it was just, thinking I had to be like a bunch of the other trainers. And the training that I had, but this is mine now. This is where I've gone to help a whole bunch of people already.
Got it. This is a scarcity mindset. It's like, there's only that way and those people have it. And if I'm not like them, everything falls apart. Or abundance. There are plenty of roots there. I have an amazing one. And there are very particular people that I can serve through this. Yes, now I got it. Thank you. Your inspired action.
Well, I'm going to take one of those steps right out of my work and go out to the barn with my horse and do it.
Yes. Check-offable, brilliant, beautiful in the real world and has you on the court doing those things that you're then also offering to the planet. It's very aligned. Thank you. Wendy.
This has kind of come up a lot lately is like the princess and the pea and what am I tolerating? And that the more I expand and the more abundant I become, the more I will notice those little nuances and the pee under 20 mattresses. And my inspired action is to really do some exploration and journaling around what am I tolerating by not making offers?
Oh, what a beautiful sentence to end today's call on. What am I tolerating by not making offers? How beautiful, because there's a whole host of things for all of us. And the question itself is super empowering because it's like, oh, well, and what might be possible if I change that? And if I even take one piece of one part that could move the needle on that, and that is life-changing, that's company-changing, that's world-changing. Thank you so much. Love it, Wendy. Thank you so much. Fabulous call. You guys are amazing. Love, love, love this. Loved everything that you've, the questions you've brought, your contributions, your listening, your insights. Thank you. I will see you, I hope, for Story Mistakes next week. Also see you for Abundance 2. Remember to register for the game if you haven't. Have a fantastic week. Keep leaning in the Facebook group. That is our point of connection. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye for now.